If you're wondering why they called it Super Wild Card Weekend, it's not because the games were good. We're going in and we're going to dive through all of Super Wild Card Weekend. We're looking at the divisional round this weekend, giving you our picks, diving into some housewives stories. So you do not want to miss this episode of The Real Football Fans of New Jersey. Fill up those wine glasses. Hello, still working on the social media, but I am here. We are here. Welcome to the Real Football Fans of New Jersey. This is episode 189. We are one away from our 10 episode countdown.
Yes,
to 200. I swear, probably once a week, I'll like start looking up like places online and like, what can we do? I get this creative spark, and I'm like, I'm so ready to plan because we've been planning our 100th episode.
Yeah, I think it's definitely gonna be in the springtime, mm-hmm. and that just another thing to get excited for because I looked it up yesterday. So today is 53 days until daylight savings. Clap it up for that.
Clap it up. I was literally just talking to my sister at like 5:30 and she like had sent me a snap and she was like, is it bad that I'm ready for bed? And I was like, no. I was like, this is how it is right now. It's this dark, gloomy 4 o'clock comes around and it's like, I'm ready for bed. So listen, if we weren't doing the show tonight, I probably would have been in bed at 5:30. So that daylight, it's coming, people. It's coming. Our 200th episode is coming. So many good things are on the horizon. So why don't we go ahead and get into our episode. As always, if you are watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, feel free to engage with us throughout the show. Ask us questions, comment on the questions that we're about to read, comment on our thoughts, everything like that. Give us your picks if you want to. Gentle reminder, if you are watching on Twitter, and I do see a ton of you are watching live right now. Thank you guys so much. If you want to engage with us, you have to reply directly to the tweet or head over to YouTube. Once Katie starts talking, I will go and put a tweet out of our YouTube channel. So if you want to do all that fun stuff, you can come over there. But let's go ahead and get started because we have a lot to cover. We started with this week asking you guys to ask us questions. You sent in a ton of great questions. We pulled 5 of them. So here are the 5 that we want to discuss. So the first one is, which running back will have the most rushing yards this weekend? I got to look at my list.
Yeah, I'm kind of going off the top of my head, but this was a guy who I like threw all my chips in like on him last week. And he did have a really good game last weekend. And I just love what he's doing for this team. I'm going to go with 49ers running back Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah, I do like Elijah Mitchell as well. I actually have a nice, unique spin when we talk about that later. I don't know. I'm looking at my
We are going to discuss like our top rushers for the game.
I'm gonna go with Joe Mixon on this one.
Okay. Yeah, that's another.
Yeah.
Good pick.
Yeah. So, but I do love that, your pick as well.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So, coming off of this past weekend, does adding another team to the playoffs look like a good idea after all the blowouts we saw this weekend?
Caitlin and I said this about like 30 seconds before we started the show. We were talking about it. And honestly, you know, this is the second year that we're doing it. Right. Mm-hmm. And, I feel like I don't love it. I don't hate it. I think it just depends on the year and the season, because last year I felt like we had strong wild card teams. I felt like everybody that made the playoffs like pretty much deserved to be there. Whereas this year I felt as though there were some really weak wild card teams, and it definitely showed this past weekend.
Right.
So unfortunately, I just think it's a thing of it just depends on the season. Like sometimes we have that many good teams and sometimes we do not. And you will get teams that sneak in that kind of feel like they don't deserve to be there. So it's just a toss up year by year, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this year, in comparison to last year, though, that wild card, you know, that like those last spots were really came down to kind of like the last, you know, week or so. And there was teams where, you know, maybe 4 weeks ago, we were seeing brand new teams coming into the hunt like right away. So someone wrote cough Steelers. So yeah, listen, they played badly. And a lot of people will say they definitely did not deserve to make it in over like a Chargers or something like that. I think that that's the difference we're seeing year over year, to where last year we kind of knew who we were getting pretty, it was kind of a pretty healthy, look into the playoffs. And then this year we had teams like the Eagles to come in at the way end. No one thought that they were going to go to the playoffs, come in right at the end. Again, the Steelers, it was up to a craziness for them to get in at the end. So I think that's the biggest difference, but you're right in that it's going to depend on the year. It's going to depend on the team. But honestly, if you make it in like right at the end, you slide your way into the playoffs and you don't play your best football in that first round, I just don't even want to look at you as an NFL team. Like, how can you not play the best football that you've ever played?
I'll make an argument for why, like, just playing devil's advocate and going with one side. I'll say why I like it. I think there are certain divisions that are really hard compared to some divisions that are really, really weak, right? But no matter what, one team from each division is going to go because they're going to be the division winner. And it sucks, like, in the past when you're not the winner of your division, but maybe you have, like, 11 wins or 10 wins. It does become hard to snatch one of only one of two wildcard spots. Even though you played in another division, you would be the division winner. You know what I mean? So the fact that you could still send like three teams from one division, especially the ones that play in a much more competitive division compared to others where maybe all four teams don't even deserve to go. I like it in that sense.
Yeah. No, I think it's a good point too. And then we do have a comment, you know, not opposing the extra wild card game, but the better restructure of that format. So, you know, just your average Joe would love to hear your thoughts on how to restructure it as well. So if you want to pop those in, love to see that. So moving on to our other question. So hypothetically, if Aaron Rodgers wins the Super Bowl this year, do you think he would retire?
Interesting. I was talking about Aaron Rodgers over the weekend. Obviously, he had a bye weekend. I was talking about him in comparison to Tom Brady in just the fact that I think Aaron Rodgers is capable of playing as long as Brady's playing at a high level that Brady is playing at. But I don't think his heart is in it the way Tom Brady's heart is in it. And I could see him retiring surprisingly in the next year or two. So if he were to win the Super Bowl, could I see it? Yeah, I could.
Yeah, so I don't think, I think he's going to toy with us again next year, winning a Super Bowl or not. I think it's going to, but that goes to what you had said of where his heart isn't in it. And his heart isn't in it because he's playing these mind games. He's not being realistic. It's mid-season. He lies about being vaccinated. He's doing all these weird, weird things as, you know, an NFL quarterback. So I just think that he's not going to retire this year. It'll come soon, but I think he's still just kind of, it's almost like he's like dicking around and playing football. And it pisses me off that he's dicking around and he's the one of the best.
Another off season of, is Aaron Rodgers coming back?
Right.
It's just really freaking annoying at this point.
Yeah, no, it really is for sure. But no, I don't see him retiring after this season. All right. Which divisional round game are you looking forward to watching? Are you most looking forward to watching this weekend?
I'll tell you.
I don't want to say it because my one from last week.
I will say that the game I'm most looking forward to, I'll let you know, was the game that I had the absolute hardest time choosing between. And that is the Buffalo Bills, Kansas City Chiefs game. I think those are two absolute powerhouses. Listen, the Tennessee Titans are the number one seed in the AFC. I don't look at them like they're a number one seed. I look at it as like that. And I really like the Bengals and everything like that. But I look at the AFC and I'm like, that is the Bills and the Chiefs. Like those are the top dogs right there. And they both are matching up this weekend. So I'm very excited for it.
Absolutely. It's one of those times where you look at the matchups and you just wish there wasn't an NFC and an AFC, because then they could play each other in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of those scenarios for sure. But I'm really looking forward to the Titans and the Bengals game, actually, because I think it's time, like you had just said, the Chiefs and the Bills are on top. I think it's time for one of them to show themselves and to come in and to say, hey, listen, knock, knock, I have your number. I'm coming in the AFC right now. So I think we can all admit the AFC is definitely more thrilling than the NFC in the playoff picture right now. I think whoever wins the AFC will come out on top in the Super Bowl. So
interesting.
But I definitely am looking forward to this Bengals-Titans matchup.
All right.
All righty. And last question. All right. So you have to pick one. So which game from this past weekend would you want, like, as a do-over? So, like, let's play the game again, like toss it in the trash.
I mean, I think we talked about last week which games we were excited for. And I think both you and I said, because I think it was our poll question, which division rival game are you more excited for?
Right.
And one of the options was the Bills and the Patriots. And I was pumped for that game, and I did not expect it to go the way that it did. That was the third matchup between them, obviously, because they play in the same division. Let's toss it out. Let's just get it better. Like, I do feel as though the Bills are the better team, and the right team won, the deserving team won. But give us a better game than that. The people were ready and hungry for a good AFC East matchup. So it was disappointing.
I agree with you. That was my the one last week I was looking forward to. I was so pumped, and I could not tell you how pissed I am with how that game went on, ended. I even, you know, closed my eyes a little bit. I had to. There was nothing going on.
I barely paid attention to the second half. I had it on in the background. I could hear it, but I was like barely paying attention to it.
Yeah. So yeah, but just not good for sure. Those are our questions for the week. Thank you guys always for sending them in. Ask your questions. You know, we have a ton of engagement on YouTube right now. Thank you guys so much for keeping your comments coming. Have any questions, we'll get through them throughout the show. But we definitely got more and more to talk about, people.
We do. I can't wait to we got good Housewives stories tonight. I do. But I have to play favorite to football this week, because I love the playoffs. And like I said, like, these games playoffs this weekend are really great. We're hoping they're better than the wild card games.
If they're not, I swear I'm coming after someone. There will be blood.
Yes. But in the world of football, though, we do still have to talk about kind of not just what's going on in the playoffs, but in the rest of the league. Obviously, we've got a lot of teams here looking for head coaches, looking for GMs. No reports yet. I kind of thought that we were going to come on this week and we were going to have maybe some hirings, but I guess the playoffs are still kind of going, and
I think a lot of candidates are like in
people are waiting to interview certain people. So it might be, you know, another week or two. So, anyways, we do have more firings to report on, though. So that was kind of unexpected. I thought we were done with the head coach firings. But on Thursday, Houston Texans, they fired head coach David Culley after just one season. Kate, you and I have talked about this on the show constantly about head coaches and quarterbacks in this league not kind of getting a fair chance to establish themselves with their team. The Texans finished with a 4-13 record this year. Houston is now looking for their third head coach in the last 3 years. That's a bad look as well. Ian Rappaport reported one of the reasons for Culley's firing was because he would not make changes to his offensive staff. I know their GM spoke about that. They just weren't on the same page as far as the future of the team went. And he did own up and say, you know, as much as we don't like to do this after one season and it's very extreme, we just didn't see eye to eye on the future. And okay, at least you can recognize that. And if that's what it is, then I understand why you're moving in different directions. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you made the hire in the first place a year ago, like, you would have hoped that you would have hired him because you were on the same page then.
You should have spoken about future. That it's been a year. Like, nothing drastically changed over this year. Like, Houston sucked. Like, you had all that shit with Deshaun Watson, but, like, that was there. That was, like, you had all of that in, like, the atmosphere. Like, you had it all there. So, like, not much should have changed mentality-wise. Like, then to now. Like, I don't
Let it be a lesson to teams that are, you know, looking to hire their new head coaches right now and in future seasons. Like, these are things you want to have long-term conversations,
yes,
right? Not just, what are we going to do this next season? What can we do together long-term?
Or not even just, I want to win a Super Bowl.
Are we a good fit? You have to recognize what you feel could be a good fit. And this clearly was a fail.
Yeah. And it seems like while we thought maybe something would happen this week, I think teams, despite whether it's coaches that are in the playoffs right now, maybe they're waiting to interview. Mm-hmm. I think teams are taking their time, because just being us as Giants fans, I think a lot of other teams like are in our boat where they're seeing a lot of turnover. They want to get it right. So with Houston, if you really are departing ways, like, clearly something went wrong with the interview process a year ago. You guys didn't, you know, match up on something only in 365 days. Like, that just shows kind of poor interview, you know, processes, like everything like that, like kind of how you deal with your management on a day-to-day basis, like kind of how you nurture people to grow within your organization. So I think teams are taking their time right now, and as they should, because this shouldn't happen. A coach really should not be fired after the first year, except, you know, obviously like someone like Urban Meyer, like we've got some issues there. Like, that you really should not be parting ways with someone this early.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this guy had three seasons with his team, but on Monday, Las Vegas fired GM Mike Mayock after three seasons. During his time with Las Vegas, his team had a 25-24 record. He is definitely going to go down for a lot of really questionable draft picks. And that's not just him. That's mixed with John Gruden as well, with his time as head coach of the Raiders when they came in together. But some of those picks included first rounder Damon Arnette in 2020, who was released from the team after that video came out of him like polishing a gun, threatening to kill someone.
Yeah.
In 2020, you also had first rounder Henry Ruggs III released from the team. We all know what happened with that one. And then in 2021, first rounder offensive tackle Alex Leatherwood, he definitely struggled at the position this year as a rookie. And granted, he's a rookie, but you know, you want to try and get your first rounders right. And it's been shaky for them in the drafts. And I think the fact that, you know, you brought him and Gruden in together, Gruden's no longer there. I know a lot of teams really like to sometimes just have a clean slate and bring a GM and a head coach in together, which could have, again, like maybe that's what the Giants were thinking too. Like, all right, we're on the fence with Joe Judge. Clean slate. Let's pair. Let's group. Let's bring in a GM and head coach together that we think fit. So
yeah. So we'll see there. We do have a question on YouTube. You have any coaches you'd love to get, and also any you'd hate for us to get? So this one's interesting. So I'm gonna lean more towards people that I don't want. So two major rumor, and they're rumors, people, like this is rumor. We have to get a GM first. Two rumors that I've heard are Bill O'Brien and Doug Peterson. I do not want either of them. Obviously we've seen Doug Peterson coach firsthand, being the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. And then Bill O'Brien, he's with Alabama right now, so I see him that, but obviously Bill O'Brien had his chance in the NFL and, you know, things did not go well there. So
that was someone who got way more of a chance than he deserved.
Right. So I'm definitely going to go with no on both of them. And then my kind of asterisk is, where I'm leaning towards yes and no, has to be Brian Flores, because I think a lot of what the narrative is right now is that he wants to go somewhere like with Deshaun Watson and see what they can do there. And I got to tell you, I'm not into it. I don't care how many people are preaching innocent until proven guilty with him. I don't care. It's nothing has happened. Nothing. If he was truly innocent, I think things would have been dropped and moved on by now. I just don't need that within the Giants locker room. I don't need that within New York. So if he really wants to bring him somewhere with him, I don't want him on the Giants. So
I think I'm going to go with a guy who I met. And now this is like a couple seasons back. I never understood why he was fired. And I always held a ton of respect for him and really, really liked him as a head coach. And I'm going to dip, and I never like to do this, but I think this is an exception. I don't like to dip into the college pool, right? Let's bring Mr. Jim Harbaugh back.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. Yeah, I wouldn't mind
having him. And not just that, like, I want it to be an offensive-minded coach. I think we definitely struggle more so on the offensive side of the ball. And right. Jim Harbaugh played the quarterback position. I would love to see somebody come in there and get it right with Daniel Jones, because there is the potential there. And I just want to – it has to be someone offensive-minded. So if it's him, Eric Bieniemy from Kansas City.
Like, I would love Eric.
Like, that would be great as well. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know yet.
Yeah, there's a lot of names on the list. I must say, I'm way more excited about the GM hunt right now. I think the Giants are doing a phenomenal job. I think they've interviewed I want to say the range is 6 to 9 people, but maybe it's 9. They're really interviewing quality people, and they're bringing in people for second interviews now. And I'm just very, very impressed with.
They're bringing in a lot of people from winning organizations.
And who have brought in winning people to organizations, which is what we need to do. So I'm more excited about the GM search right now. So we'll see about that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
A lot to come with that for sure. Let's just hope that the Giants make the right decision, obviously.
Yes, please.
All right, so let's go into our wild card weekend thoughts. Actually, super wild card weekend, even though it was not super by any means. So Cincinnati had their first playoff win since the 1990-1991 season. I wasn't even born yet when they had their last play. Yeah. So like, I was just what was that?
In your mom's belly, maybe?
I was in my mom's belly, maybe, if I was born January to November. I'm not good with math. So if January was...
It's okay.
The Super Bowl used to be in January back in the day. I think it was like January. Like, yeah. So I could have been a, when did the job? I think my family determined that I was a, I don't know. We'll see. I was there. So I was there in spirit. So we're just trying to say that was a long ass time ago. And if you think about it, it was like before the game, they were showing like the montage of like the Bengals making it to playoff, but just losing in the first round. So they've definitely deserved this one. So they had a 26-19 victory over Las Vegas. So one of the more interesting games of the weekend. It was a good way to start the weekend, but a couple of other games didn't really pan out. Josh Allen became the first quarterback in Buffalo history with 5 passing touchdowns and 0 interception in a playoff game, as he led his team to a 47-17 win over New England. So good for you. 5 pass touchdowns, 0 interceptions in a game that I think was -4 degrees. That was the real feel. So I know. And listen, I understand it's Buffalo. Like, they know how to play there. But that type of weather impacts everyone. There's always, maybe it's a lower scoring game. Maybe you're choosing to run the ball a little bit more. Not Josh Allen. He said no. He said no to the weather. He said no to the Patriots, and good for him. He's really starting out the playoffs strong, and I think he will continue to ride this playoffs and do a lot of good things in, maybe the coming weeks. We'll see after this weekend. Alrighty, so Tampa Bay led 31-0 after 3 quarters in their 31-15 win over Philadelphia. Holy shit. Like, just bad football.
I'm sorry. And I know that everybody's going to think I'm saying this because I'm a Giants fan.
No, this is no bias.
I thought Philadelphia was hands down the weakest team to make the playoffs. I don't even think I realized until like the very, very end of the regular season that they were even in contention to potentially even grab a spot.
Right.
And when it happened, I was like, how the hell did this happen?
Right.
They have that many wins? Like, because they just felt like such a crap team.
I just like 100%. And I think like where like the non-bias comes from, like I think Katie and I can admit that over the past couple of weeks, they established a run game. They started to move things around. While they're not the most powerful team in the NFL, they definitely were making moves to get into the playoffs. But then you get to the playoffs and nothing that you worked on over the past couple of weeks to where you actually rose up came out on the field. There was nothing there. There was nothing. There was physically nothing up and down the field. A 31-0 at three.
I think that 31-15 final score is like even closer than what it actually felt like. I mean, it felt like that 31-0 score after the end of three quarters, and then you just get 15 garbage points.
It seemed like every time Tom Brady took the field, they were like, oh, shocked to see him still back in. Like they were kept saying that.
They were talking about taking Tom Brady out of the game.
Who is their backup quarterback? Because I kept saying, please put the other person in because I don't know who it is. I don't know why I'm blanking and I'm blanking right now. Like I could Google it during the show. But like I literally, every time they kept saying that, I was just like, can they take Tom Brady out? Because I want to know who the backup is. Yeah. Like I blanked completely on it. But I have to look that up for sure. But what an awful, awful game for sure.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the most exciting game of the weekend. The San Francisco 40. Well, we have to make a quick thank you to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for knocking out the Eagles.
I think
thank
it's Blaine Gabbert.
I couldn't even like pick him out of a lineup, to be honest. The name.
Play for Jacksonville.
Okay, that helps a lot more. It really does. I wasn't being sarcastic. That does help. So yes, but thank you, Tampa Bay, for knocking out the Eagles. But another big thank you to the San Francisco 49ers, who held on to beat Dallas 27-17 as literally time expired. It literally ticked to zero during Dallas's final drive. Definitely a bit of a controversy here. So if you follow the game of football, even some people who do follow the game of football, you might maybe not picked up on this. So when you are setting up during the ref has to place the ball. So right. That was the biggest controversy there, that Dak Prescott grabs the ball, rushes his line up and goes to set the ball. You can't do that. The ref has to touch the ball. So you mistakenly, as a quarterback and your offensive line around you, should have known that, first of all, and the ref couldn't
get
the fuck out of the way. And a lot of people are complaining about how slow the ref was. It did not matter. The ref needs to touch the ball. It just needs to touch the ball. Like, it doesn't matter how slow he is. Doesn't matter if it's Usain Bolt placing the ball. The ref needs to come and put the ball down. That is like textbook football, like everything like that. So a lot of controversy going around there. My thoughts on that is, again, it is a textbook thing. So if we're talking about how good this Dallas Cowboys team is, how good Dak Prescott is, you are running 2-minute drills every single day at practice. Your practice could look different every day of the week, but every team is always running 2-minute drills. That is a consistent thing on any NFL team. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how bad you are. You're always running 2-minute drills. So that scenario came up during probably multiple times this year, multiple times before this game this weekend. And then also too, when you have no timeouts left and the clock is running, why are you running the ball up the field? Straight down the middle.
Second to last. Well, they didn't get to run the last play that they wanted to run. Right. That last play that they fully ran with Dak, not even running it to the sideline, running it straight up just the up middle. The field. What are you doing? That's clock management. Like, you know, come on. There's a million reasons why you lost that game.
Okay? Yeah, like literally.
Just take accountability for it.
Just take accountability. It's like, so the ref like booty bumping you and trying to get to place that ball down has nothing to do with why you guys lost.
Let me just say, I never had more fun in my entire life rooting with my husband for the 49ers. Kayla and I were texting it during the game. And we were like, we're 49ers fans right now. This is amazing. Like my husband and I were high-fiving. We were jumping up and down. We were screaming. So like, I had a ball. I had a great time.
I did as well. And like it was the same thing, like at my house with my boyfriend. While he is an Eagles fan, we do put our differences aside to hate on the Dallas Cowboys. That is one of our favorite pastimes. But it got to a point where I texted Katie. I was like, we're now referring to the Niners as we. So it was like, we got the first down. Like, we're going. So it's like, we.
I had a great time. I had such a great time.
It was honestly amazing. And it felt so good too, because it's, you know, all jokes aside, like Dallas really did have a good team this year. And I was very nervous that they could potentially, but listen, Dallas gonna Dallas and make stupid decisions and knock themselves out of the playoffs. So, but really, you know, big props to the Niners. They played a phenomenal game, a good, tough, strong game. And they held it out to the last, literally the last second. So
yeah.
Good for them. And Thank you guys very much. Very, very much.
Yeah.
All right. So Kansas City tight end Travis Kelce became the first player in NFL history with a pass touchdown, receiving touchdown, and 100 plus receiving yards in one playoff game in their win 42-21 over Pittsburgh. So talk about jack of all trades. He did everything. He threw a touchdown. He caught one. I
expected Travis Kelce to have this kind of game. Like when we were doing our game last week and we were talking about like who we thought like our top guys were going to be. I think I picked Travis Kelce was going to be my MVP. I felt he was going to come out and crush it. Honestly, I think he's going to have another monster game this weekend as well.
Definitely a hard player to stop, especially if he's throwing those three things in your face. You got to stop him on all three. I don't know how you're going to do it, but someone's got to. So, yes. And then Los Angeles Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford had his first career playoff win with their 34-11 victory over Arizona. Another snooze fest.
Oh, yeah, you want to talk about disappointing, because this was our other poll question about like the division rival games. Obviously, you've got the Rams versus a division rival in the Arizona Cardinals. And I was telling Caitlin before the show tonight that I was like, after Saturday and Sunday, I was like, oh, the games sucked. They were terrible. Mm-hmm. Well, at least we got this Monday game, which I felt was kind of like the best, most evenly matched opponents. And it just was like the cherry on the top of the freaking sundae.
Awful.
Of awful, awful, awful games. Total disappointment. But honestly, like Arizona spiraled hard at the end of this regular season. Can we just acknowledge that?
Yeah.
That's why I like confidently felt good taking the Rams to win that game. But I thought it was going to be a hell of a lot closer. But they went from like a shoe-in for the number one NFC, and they just plummeted. This is a really ugly way for them to win what was a really good, like, three quarters of your season. So
disappointing
for that team.
For me, like, as, like, just a football fan, an NFL fan, like, seeing, like, where we ended as, like, a Giants organization, like, as far as Arizona made it, and they made it to the playoffs, congratulations, but I would, as a fan, as a player in that organization, I would just feel so bad right now with where you are, at least with the Giants and like other poor teams. Like, we've got some optimism with where we're going, what we're trying to do. We know what we have to do. Arizona spends the last couple of weeks, like you said, spiraling out of control, out of nowhere, and then just completely losing, like shitting the bed in the first playoff game. Like, to me, I would just be so lost right now. Like, as like, what is going on? Like, I almost rather be in our position than like, what is that happening there? So,
and a lot of quarterbacks struggle when they have like their big playoff debut. This was a debut for Kyler Murray, and it proved to be, he had a terrible,
awful game.
Terrible game. This proved to be a huge, huge challenge. And I know Cliff Kingsbury spoke about this game after the fact, talking about, like, I think it was inexperience on our part, and it showed. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, now is the time. Oh my gosh. I can't even tell you how long it took me, you guys, to make these picks, but we have to give you our divisional round picks. I went 6-0 last week, baby. And I'm undefeated. But I don't know. I probably not, because this is way too hard. Again, we're going to go into our game later in the show. We're really going to break down these matchups. But Kate, I'm going to let you go first. I really feel like we might be all over the board. It wouldn't even surprise me if we were like not matching on any of these, because that's how hard it was.
It could be. Ooh. Alrighty. So we only small amount, only four games. So I am going with Cincinnati, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, and Buffalo.
Okay. So I told Caitlin before the show, I didn't tell her what my picks were. I told her there were two games that I made pretty early, and I was like, I'm sticking with this. And that was Cincinnati and Green Bay. So Caitlin and I are both taking that Cincinnati upset over the number one seeded Tennessee Titans. I flipped so hard on these games back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, which is funny in the fact that I have the opposite of you. I am going with the Los Angeles Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay, okay.
So I can make arguments on those last two games. They're so, so hard.
Yeah,
so
they are.
Later in the show, I'm really interested to like hear your scores and hear your thought process.
It's a tough weekend for sure.
It's so tough.
It really is. I think like when I look at it and what I want to see, I would love the Rams to beat Tampa. I would actually love to see that because I think everyone doesn't want
to
see.
And I would love to see the Bills beat Kansas City.
And that's another thing too. Like those are two games that like I would want that to see. But I think when it comes down to it, I can more confidently pick Buffalo to beat Kansas City over the Rams beating Tampa.
Well, I will say this. I was telling Kate on the two games that I was struggling on that one was a gut feeling and one was when I break down the game and the matchup between the two teams, what makes sense when I really fully break it down. My gut feeling was to take the Kansas City Chiefs over the Bills. And my logical breakdown is to take the Rams over Tampa Bay. So again, we will get late into it later in the show in our game. But wow, I can't wait for these games. I really can't.
I know.
I'm going to the weekend already. I love playoff football, honestly.
Me too. Me too.
But before we do that, we got to do Housewives.
We have some good Housewives too. And Katie and I have been waiting to do this topic for you guys. Like, oh, I should have brought like props. I should have brought props, yeah, things to pull out. Up. I think you can. Like, I want to press this right now. I think I might break us, but like, I think you can literally show something on screen. And like, I want to show props.
If you can Google this. I can on my phone.
I'm pretty sure you can do something here, but I'm afraid I'm going to break it. So basically, we're going to talk about the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City reunion looks and let you know that these might be the worst looks in Housewives reunion history. So on Thursday, Bravo released a sneak peek at what the ladies wore, sparked a lot of comments on social media, such as, was the theme for them to dress your worst? This might be the worst in Housewives history. And I'm going to watch this reunion with sunglasses. So,
yeah, they're bad. They're bad.
All right, I'm going to press a button here. Okay, nothing happened. I just pressed a button and nothing happened. And I thought that was the button I could do to show a picture of something. Yeah. Okay. But at least I didn't break it. That's totally fine. But yeah, so I think that the interesting thing about this story is that I was so excited that they announced like that they were filming. So they were like, oh, we're filming the reunion. So it's like, oh, good. Like, it's been a great season so far. Like, we're coming up on the reunion. The reunion is going to be great. You know, we obviously have the rumors that Mary didn't show. Like, we're talking about that. So all of that's great. All good news. And then they just show just what these ladies are wearing. And not good at all. So you have Jen Shah.
My favorite part about this, my absolute favorite part about this story is like two episodes ago when they have the faux lunch. Caitlin saw the episode before I did. Then as I'm watching it, I'm giving her my reactions because she had already seen it. And she said, she's like, I think this might be the best dressed cast, the best dressed franchise. Because the women at this faux lunch, the outfits were fire. Everybody looked amazing. And I text her back. I'm like, you know what? You might be right. And then like 2 weeks later, these reunion looks dropped. And they're the worst, not just like in a franchise, but in full-blown Housewives history.
I'm eating my words, people. Like, I just don't. And I actually thought last year's reunion looks for them were really good. Like,
they
liked them.
Really, really, really bold selections. And so sometimes they're going to hit and sometimes they're really going to miss.
So people were comparing Jen's outfit to Disney villain Yzma. I don't know, from The Emperor's New Groove. You got to know.
I saw the side by side.
They're identical.
Yes.
Whitney got comparisons to Elphaba. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. From Wicked. So you've ever seen that. And then Heather's, which made me, I got to tell you, this reaction made me pee my pants because I think I was literally thinking the same thing. Heather's outfit drew a lot of mother of the bride comparison.
It would be a great mother of the bride dress. It would be.
But it was like the velvet. So just like worst to us, so I'm going to pull up my phone. So I guess I got to go to Bravo. Did they post it? I want to get like the swipe through.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. Okay, I got. Oh, no, wait. Shoot, why did they only?
I just googled Real Housewives of Salt Lake City reunion outfits, and they have one by one pictures of everybody on Google.
Okay, well, I sent you. I'm gonna look to what I sent you. I know. Okay, here we go. Okay. So I'm looking at them all now. So if everyone can see, that's what Jen Shaw looks like. It's that. It's identical to the Emperor's New Groove person. So I guess I would say from best to worst.
Oh, well, I don't have an order. I have a least favorite and a favorite.
Oh, a least favorite.
I have a full ranking.
Oh, no. Okay.
I would say the worst one, I'm going to say the worst one is Meredith Marks.
It is. It's a hunt. She looks like a Swiffer.
The color is a very interesting color. I don't even know what to call it.
It's like teal. Isn't that like teal?
But she went again with the feathers. It was a very, very bold look. It's like a teal suit with feathers. And she just looks crazy.
Someone needs to stop. I saw something. It was like someone needs to take away her arts and crafts privileges. Like, it's true. Like, she looks. And I keep looking behind me because I had my feather duster on the table. You know, like the Swiffer feather duster that you like clean. Like, that's what her sleeves look like. Like, well, she literally looks like
Brooks. Like, Brooks is in the fashion industry.
And I hope he didn't. I hope we find out. Yeah.
Brooks, please.
I hope we don't find out like that he did make that for her because I'm going to be upset. But
yeah, that's my least favorite.
Yeah.
If I had to say a favorite, which is AKA just what's the least worst out of all of them, I would say that this dress wasn't horrible. I just felt like maybe like this person has a good body and it just didn't look great on their body for whatever reason. I'd probably go with Whitney's dress. She's got this green velvet dress. And funny enough, I wore like a green velvet jumpsuit for New Year's Eve. And I love velvet. I really like that green color, especially around the holidays. So I could see that. I don't know. I guess that's, if I had to pick one that was okay, I'd pick that one.
I guess I really can't. I can't pick an okay one. Like, I can't.
I mean, Lisa Barlow looks amazing because she's like a freaking twig, but her dress was terrible too. It was like
her dress, but like she looks like, but her outfit, like it didn't match her bot. Like, I don't know. I hate all of them.
They're bad. They're bad.
I can't pick anyone.
Heather's is, again, like being like a mother of the bride dress. Like, it's not an ugly dress.
It's a beautiful mother of the bride dress.
Yeah. It was just really boring. It was actually just really boring. Like, some of these women go too outlandish, but this was too boring for a
I didn't.
A housewives reunion.
No, it was ugly. Ugly.
Bad.
Ugly on all counts. So yes, definitely the worst in history. I don't know, ladies. Get it together. Like, you maybe let Katie and I pick out your outfits next time. I don't know.
Yeah. But anyways, let's get into our second story of the week in the world of housewives. This was an article that just came out from ScreenRant.com, and it ranked the 10 worst divorces in housewives history. There's probably more divorces than there are marriages across the board.
But I think that's the biggest eye-opening thing for some people sometimes, like when you talk about, or like they watch an episode with you and they're like, where's their husband? I'm like, oh, they're not married. And it's like, isn't this the housewives? And I'm like, yeah, well.
But also, I mean, listen, we're living in a world where like the divorce rate is 50%. Yeah. So it makes sense, right?
Absolutely.
Anyway, Screen Rant has their order and their list of 10 in order. Caitlin and I are going to say what we feel is like the worst divorce in housewives history. maybe one that hits you hard, it's emotional, maybe one that you picked because you felt like it was just really ugly. But here is Screen Rant's list. Number 10, we got Kenya Moore and Mark Daly from Atlanta. Number 9, we're throwing it back to Camille and Kelsey Grammer from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
People are probably like, wait a minute. And I'm like, yeah.
We're throwing it back with number 8 as well. This feels like 100 million years ago. Tamra Judge and Simon Barney from Real Housewives of Orange County. Number 7, we got Gina and Matt Kirschenheiter from Orange County. Number 6, I feel like shouldn't be on the list because this guy was never on the show.
No.
But we've got Sonia and John Morgan from Roni. Number 5, we've got Cynthia Bailey and Peter Thomas from Atlanta. Number 4, we have Ramona and Mario Singer from Roni. 3, we got Joanna Krupa and Roman Zago from Miami. Number 2, we have Teresa and Joe Giudice from New Jersey, only Jersey couple on this list. And number 1, we've got Erica Jane and Tom Girardi from Beverly Hills. Kate, what do you feel is like the worst divorce in your opinion?
Yeah, so I mean,
it's like how you factor it, you know?
Yeah, there's definitely a ton of names on this list that, you know, we got to see firsthand. I'm a little surprised, and maybe they aren't officially divorced, but I'm surprised that Shannon Bedore isn't on here with, maybe they were on later on, like an honorable mention or something, but that was a bad, bad one for sure. I feel like this is definitely a toss-up for me for like being in the middle of the actual like ending of the relationship and the divorce and how bad their relationships were. So I'm actually going to have a tie. I'm going with Tamra Judge and Simon Barney and Teresa and Joe Giudice. So Tamra and Simon's was very early on in Orange County, and they were the couple, like very similar to Teresa and Joe, where you saw their fallout happen on TV. And Simon Barney is a complete asshole, asshole. He treated Tamra Judge so poorly on camera, and you just saw it, and you saw the life get sucked out of her. I'm so happy that she met Eddie Judge. I think they're a great couple.
Yeah.
While she still has a little crazy in her, she definitely turned her life around. Like, you saw him just like literally take everything from her and just suck it all out. And like, she was not a good person, and it was not good. So that one, and that was like early in Housewives history.
Yeah.
So like that, was definitely tough to see. And then Teresa and Joe, we saw everything on their family.
They put us through the ringer.
We saw them have kids. We saw them go to jail. We saw everything in their relationship. We've seen it over the years. And then we ultimately see them now get a divorce, and now they're moved on from each other and, you know, living as like co-parents now. So we're getting that end of it as well now. So that also is just a huge one. While it's a little like more modern,
I feel like with the Giudices, and this goes for their whole family, because like you said, like season one, she was like giving birth to her youngest
daughter. I know.
I feel as though the Giudices are that family where like we have literally seen like everything that this family has gone through. I mean, the death of Teresa's parents, like some of these fights that they used to have with Melissa and Joe, and like, you know, the birth of
every
daughter. And like when the old school, I think it's because when the old school episodes come on, when Bravo will do like an old school marathon, and you watch those beginning seasons of New Jersey, and you see Gia is like a baby.
I know.
And it blows your mind. Mm-hmm. And when you see the way they all interacted, especially Teresa and Joe, it's like, holy crap. Like,
I know.
We've literally seen it all. So
yeah,
that's a good one. I'm going to go with one that has me sentimental in the fact that I wish it never happened. And 2, because I was so surprised when it did. They portrayed this perfect couple. Everybody was like envious of them and what they had. I'm going with Ramona and Marty.
Yeah.
You can see it because they still have a good relationship.
They do.
As poorly as it ended because of the fact that Mario had an affair, and that's an easy way for Ramona to be like, F you, I never want to speak to you again in my life. I think the relationship they have today is like really close friends, kind of show you that that was a really like special,
a good relationship
for a very long time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so when it ended in the fashion that it did, it broke your heart. And now when you see Mario make these really small cameos,
you're like,
see kind of like the flirty banter with Ramona, like pulls at your heartstrings. Like you almost want to like see them back together.
I know.
So that was a really surprising, upsetting one. And I feel like that's the one that rocks me the most from this list.
I agree. And I just like love what you brought up from it. Cause like when you think about relationships, like the person that you're with, you ultimately want them to be your best friend, like being like really like, that's amazing. So like you see that now with them. So clearly they had something special, but obviously things do happen, unfortunately. So, and she made the decision as she did as a strong, independent woman, obviously props to her for making that decision. But it's, and I think we got teased all throughout quarantine because they were all together. We were like, woohoo! but good for them for still being on that level and, you know, doing a lot of it for their daughter and just really, you know, but I agree with that one. That was definitely,
That one hurt.
Shook a lot of people. I think the biggest advice here to this group of people, don't renew your vows on Housewives. So I think 90% of this list renewed their vows, I think, on 80 or 90%. So don't renew your vows on Housewives. It's that simple. It's a curse and you don't want to see it.
It's like the Madden curse. It's the Madden curse of the Housewives franchise.
It literally is. And week after week, we continue to prove that Housewives and football are directly related. Yes. So here is the renew your vows curse and here is the Madden curse. So it's 100% real for sure.
Yep.
Alrighty, you ready to play a game?
I'm so ready. Let's do
Alrighty. So we are playing a game similar, identical to last week. We are doing our divisional round breakdown. So we are taking a look at every single divisional round matchup this weekend, and we are filling in the blanks for some of these questions. So again, I will read to you right before we get started what these scenarios are. So we're asking if each team will win if this: quarterback with the most passing yards, running back with the most rushing yards, wide receiver with the most receiving yards, MVP of the game, and then we are giving you our final score prediction. So here is our caveat. So we always tell you don't use our stuff to bet, but if you are looking at, you know, kind of over-unders, things like that, we are giving you what our final scores are going to be. So if you want to take this, please go ahead and do that, because that it counts. We're doing our research on it. So,
and I got to reword these questions, because obviously the person with the most rushing yards, like I picked two quarterbacks last week. It could be a quarterback with the most rushing yards. I said wide receiver with the most receiving yards. It could be Travis Kelce, a tight end. So
we'll keep it inclusive by saying the person with the most. But I think that is totally fine, because, you know, statistically, it will most likely be one of those people. I think I actually, I think only one of mine is a fun one. So I think I played it very vanilla with everything.
So I got a little weird here and there. So
I think I only had like one weird thing, but the score, listen, the scores, that was the funnest part for me this time around. So,
All right.
So let's start with our first matchup on Saturday. So we have number one Tennessee versus number four Cincinnati. My most looked forward to game. So Katie, the Titans will win if?
The Titans will win if Derrick Henry plays and actually contributes in his first game back since week 8. Yeah. And the run game takes advantage of a banged up Cincinnati defensive line.
Mm-hmm. Great point. Again, that's a huge... huge. I would love to see him come back out and play. We'll see at what stature that is for sure. So the Titans have to, they're a very good, they can stop the run. Their defense can. They need to continue to do that, but they're not that good on the pass rush. So they need to increase that a little bit more, because Joe Burrow in the pocket is dangerous. So don't give him that time, but also don't allow him to make these quick decisions where he can give it off quickly. So continue doing what you're doing and stopping the run game, but you've got to increase that pass rush too. The Bengals will win if...
Well, actually, I think the Titans pass rush is actually good. I think it's their pass defense that's really poor. So that factors into my thing for the Bengals. The Bengals are going to win if the offensive line can keep Joe Burrow upright. So this is interesting in the fact that Tennessee had one of the worst pass defenses, which makes you think like Joe Burrow can torch him, right? But they were actually seventh this year in sacks with 47 sacks. So if the offensive line can keep Burrow upright and allow him to torch that poor pass defense, that is the key to the game for the Bengals.
So I think for the Bengals, so like I just said before, like on the reverse with the Titans defense, Joe Burrow needs to be all over the place. So he's making those quick, clean passes. And what we saw last weekend was he was able to actually take a step back and sit in the pocket for a very long time and scan the field. When Joe Burrow scans the field and analyzes his options and has time to do that, it's freaking dangerous. So while you said the line has to keep him upright, they need to keep him and give him time back to where he can back up and fully launch it out. So I do want to see those quick decisions from him, but I also want to see him. I think he did that three times last week, was able to fully step back, take his time, and launch it. I want to see that as well from him. And I think that'll be the key to the game for them. The quarterback with the most passing yards will be
Joe Burrow. And just to put it into perspective, Ryan Tannehill has not surpassed 300 plus passing yards in his last six games, whereas Burrow's done it in four of his last six. So Joe Burrow on this one.
Going with Joe Burrow as well. The running back with the most rushing yards will be?
I went with him last week, and I like this as your pick for the running back that could potentially put up the most yards this week, and I'm going Joe Mixon.
Yep, obviously I'm going with Joe Mixon as well. As much as I love Derrick Henry and it would be so exciting for him to come back, I just don't know how much we're going to see. I just don't want people to put all their eggs in one basket that he's going to have this breakout return game. I just want people to be kind of realistic on the matter here.
Yeah.
And then the wide receiver with the most receiving yards will be?
I tried to get cute with it last week and not pick him. this week I'm doing it. I'm giving it to Ja'Marr Chase.
So am I. Got to play it safe here. He knows what he's doing. The MVP of the game will be?
I love the kid's swagger. He's got swag. I'm going Joe Burrow.
I loved the post-game interview where he was wearing those like 90s sunglasses. And he was like,
he's got swagger.
He was like, I just thought they were cool. Like, he pulled them out of an NSYNC music video, I think. And I just, that makes me.
I'm a big Joe Burrow fan. So I like him a lot.
Didn't like him in college, but I'll like you now, Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
All right. And the final score of the game will be.
Fun fact, this is my lowest scoring game of the weekend, which is not even that low. I'm going 24-21 Cincinnati.
So this is actually my highest scoring game of the week, I think. Yeah, it is. My games are very similar, but this is one of the higher ones, and I think it's going to be a close one. I'm going 35-33 Bengals.
Ooh, okay. Well, we both kept it close, so I think it's going to be a good game, but I like that we both went with the upset on this.
Absolutely. Alrighty, so the second game on Saturday, we have number one Green Bay versus number six San Francisco. The Packers will win if...
I think this one's pretty simple for me, right? The 49ers run game is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I kind of talked about like last week how the Niners, in order for them to win, Jimmy G just had to like manage the game and like not lose it for them. So I think the Packers will win if they lock down the 49ers run game and force Jimmy G to be the one to win the game through the air.
Good point. I have a couple of things here. So I've been noticing. So San Francisco has been making a couple of like late game mistakes here in the past couple of games. And they've been able to get out alive. What Green Bay needs to do, while they need to advance the entire game, if any like, you know, halftime on mistakes are made by San Francisco, they need to completely advance on that. Whether it's picking off Jimmy G, whether it's, you know, a fumble recovery, whether it's time management, they need to fully advance on any type of mistake that San Francisco makes at the end of the game, from later on in the game. And then just honestly, like, I get just like Aaron Rodgers, just kind of, you got to let him do his thing.
Yeah.
Let us do his thing. All right. The 49ers will win if.
I usually don't do this, but I'm kind of putting it on a player. I'm going to say that the 49ers will win if Deebo Samuel has himself a game on the ground and in the air. Yeah. So In week three, these two teams played each other, and Green Bay won on a game-winning field goal at the very end, 30-28. And San Fran really, that was week three, they really weren't using Deebo Samuel as a running back yet. And yet they still almost won. And now you're like using Deebo in the run and the pass game, and teams are having a really difficult time stopping that. If we get a big, big monster game from Deebo Samuel, I think that's the key for the 49ers.
Absolutely. So mine's very similar. Not only do they need an early lead, they need to establish an early run game. You need to take the pressure completely off Jimmy Garoppolo. It needs to come off of him in the beginning. I would take it off him the entire game if you can. But that run game needs to come out right away. It needs to come out strong.
We need some like flashy trick plays, which San Fran is totally capable of doing.
Oh, absolutely. The quarterback with the most passing yards will be
Aaron Rodgers.
The running back with the most rushing yards will be
my top running back for the weekend. I'm going Elijah Mitchell.
Here's my fun one. I'm going with Deebo Samuel on this one. So as you said, they have been using him on the ground. They have been using him in the air over the past couple of weeks. But I think this is going to be a huge running game for San Francisco. Yeah. So they need to use him and Mitchell completely next to each other. And I think Deebo Samuel, we've said it time and time. We text it to each other every week. I would love a player like he is just on fire. He's so insane. He does everything you ask him to. And I think if they are completely running the ball like they should, and they're moving it, you know, Green Bay is not stopping them as much. I think we're going to see a lot from Deebo Samuel in the run game. And I think he's going to rack up those rushing yards there.
Yeah.
The wide receiver with the most receiving yards will be?
I'm going to go Davante Adams.
I went with Davante Adams as well. The MVP of the game will be?
Keeping it vanilla, I'm going with Aaron Rodgers.
So am I. I told you guys, I kept a lot of things a little vanilla this week. But the final score of this game will be?
I'm going 30-23 Green Bay.
All right. We're a little similar here. I'm going a little bit higher for Green Bay, and I'm going 35-21 Green Bay.
Ooh, okay.
All right, so we're moving into our Sunday slate. We have number 2 Tampa Bay versus number 4 Los Angeles. So the Buccaneers will win if...
Okay, so the Buccaneers will win if the defense can stop the pass. Mm-hmm. These teams met in week 3. The Rams won 34-24, and Stafford absolutely torched them for 343 yards and 4 touchdowns. You cannot let him have a game like that. You have to stop the pass.
Right.
Force them to run the ball. You can't let Stafford have a game like that. It's a recipe for disaster.
Well, I look at it, it's interesting because I do agree with that. But if the same can go for Tom Brady and his offensive weapons, not only does he have Evans, Gronk, he has so many different things. And a lot of them are actually hurt, but they're still making moves around the entire offensive, you know, frame of the field. So that's what I think the Buccaneers need to do. They have to continue to be versatile on the offense, where it's not just going to one person. Use multiple people up and down the field. And I think they've been doing a good job with that. So the Rams will win if...
You guys, we give you our keys to the game and what these teams need to do to win. And there hasn't been a stronger one for me than this one right here that completely influenced me to pick last minute, pick the Rams over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Rams will win if Von Miller, Aaron Donald, and company harass Tom Brady all game long and extremely take advantage of a depleted Tampa Bay offensive line. They could be without 3 of their starting offensive linemen. That to me is like, I think I never, ever, ever like to pick against Tom Brady because I always kick myself when I've done it in the past. Right. However, when I have seen Tom Brady lose in the postseason, I'm definitely thinking about Giants Super Bowls on this one. The key to beating a Tom Brady team is literally to sack his ass all game long.
Absolutely. And said that last week and no one listened to us.
Yeah, but this is like, this is being set up perfectly for the Rams to do that. Yep. And that is honestly the reason why I'm giving the edge to the Rams in this game.
Literally, as soon as I was filling it out, you look up and you see Von Miller and Aaron Donald just right in front of your
face. They're going to be coming.
They're coming. And I literally wrote in all capital letters, get to Tom Brady early. Get to him for the rest of the game. That is how you defeat Tom Brady. You get into his little mind and you screw up everything
else. Frustrated, get him pissed off.
The team has its areas where it's not working right now. If you let Tom Brady work with his offense, like I just mentioned before, it's going to work. Do not completely cut off. Like you're basically cutting off life support when you cut off Tom Brady from that team. Cut it off. Completely get rid of it. Yep. And you have the Rams. That's their key to the game, their defense. They have a scary defense.
Because they can match up offensively with Tampa Bay. They're one of the best offenses in the league, just like Tampa Bay is. So now, like, throw it to the defense. We got two great defenses. But just the fact that you've got that banged up offensive line, and then you've got Aaron Donald and Von Miller, I'm blitzing, like, every freaking play.
Absolutely. All righty, the running back with the most rushing yards will be.
Oh, wait, we didn't do passing yards.
Oh, I'm sorry. The quarterback with the most passing yards will be.
Ooh, this one is so hard, but I'm going to go with Matthew Stafford on this one.
Ooh, I did go with Tom Brady. Because much like you, I feel like when I go against him, I get nervous. You know what I mean? It's like a bad omen coming.
Yeah.
All right, now the running back with the most rushing yards.
Yeah, I got weird the rest of the way in this game. I'm going to go with a guy filling in, and he looked pretty good last weekend. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay's Keyshawn Vaughn.
Okay.
I got weird with it, but I could see it. So
I know I do this every season when we talk about him, so I apologize for butchering his last name because, again, I'm just bad people. And I heard him all. Announced.
Do you know who you're thinking of?
I pronounce his last name Sony Michelle, but is it Michelle? Okay. I get nervous sometimes.
How else would you say it?
I don't know. Like Michelle.
You said it right. Oh God, Sony Michelle.
I am going with Sony Michelle, though. And again, just as a clarification for people, it's not that I don't know who these people are. I just literally can't say their names for the life of
me. Oh, my God.
I know. It's bad. But honestly, he's been doing great. So I do see a lot of rushing yards from him this upcoming weekend. Wide receiver with the most receiving yards.
This is also where I'm going to get real, real weird. Because I know the whole world will say Cooper Kupp.
I did not say Cooper Kupp.
Oh, okay. I'm going with Odell Beckham Jr.
So I think that is bold of you. I'm not getting in Odell's head. I'm not getting in his little fans' head. He had a great game last week. I'm not taking anything away from him. And I think it's very interesting how well he's been playing with Los Angeles. But with a lot of what's that saying? Or like with a lot of power, with a lot of like, you know, something might fall.
And a lot of great power comes great responsibility.
That's not what I'm trying to get at, but I think it's something where it's like you're super, super high, might come down low. So okay. I don't think he's going to have a bad game. I think he actually needs to play well, and I think he will play well. Not going with Cooper Kupp. I'm actually going on Tampa side here. So I'm going with Mike Evans on this one. So Tom Brady really needs to put a lot of trust in him and Gronk, like I had mentioned before, and I think they will find each other. So,
all right.
The MVP of the game will be.
Don't I kind of have to put it hand in hand with the key to the game? I'm going Mr. Aaron Donald.
Oh, and that would be a beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, I'd love to see that. So obviously, Katie and I gave our picks earlier. I am going with Tom Brady on this one. So,
all right.
And the final score of the game will be.
It's going to be a close one. It's going to be 27-24 Los Angeles.
Oh, we're so close on this one. 27-21 Tampa Bay.
All right.
All righty. In our final matchup of the weekend, I don't know how Kansas City keeps getting the last game on Sunday night, but they're getting another one here. So number two Kansas City versus number three Buffalo. The Chiefs will win if.
The Chiefs will win if they can win the turnover battle. So, again, we are getting teams a matchup here of teams who have played before this season. They played in week 5. Kansas City lost 38-20. Now, this was back in the day of when Kansas City started off the season in a really weird fashion. But the key in that game, that 38-20 score, was the fact that Kansas City had four turnovers in that game compared to Buffalo had zero. Yep. So let's flip that script. Win the turnover battle. That is the key to the game for the Chiefs.
So I literally wrote, don't turn the ball over. They can't. Like, they cannot because of exactly what you had just said, that early in the season deficit there. So it was just not good. They cannot turn the ball over against this Bills team because they'll take advantage of it as they did. So I mean,
it's a phenomenal defense. So you have to play a perfect offensive game.
That ties into my answer for number two, but the Bills will win if?
The Bills will win if they're deep. I know this is like my most broad, vague one, and so like whatever, but they can win if their defense contains a red-hot Kansas City offense, mainly Patrick Mahomes in the passing game, because Kansas City has averaged 36.5 points per game over their last six games. I mean, they're like, the way they've ended this season is kind of like almost the exact opposite of the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah. That offense just cannot be stopped right now. No. So if anybody's going to be up to the test to do it, it's going to be this Bills defense. They're the best defense in the league. So if they can just take care of business, it's their game to win.
I literally wrote like defense. Like I literally wrote defense. Like that's
it has to be defense.
They literally took the Patriots last week and just like squished them to absolutely nothing. Well, that also, was
the Bills. You saw what the Bills did on offense, which was like remarkable. And then you were like, nobody can match what they just did. And then Kansas City came out and did the same thing.
I know.
So defense.
Big, big defensive game here. And we'll see if we get it. A lot of people are saying it's going to be a shootout, but we will see. You know, yeah. I think near the end of the game, it's going to come down to a defensive stop. But we'll get that to that when we get to the final score. So the quarterback with the most passing yards will be.
Oh, my God. This was another one where it was like, who the hell do you go with?
I know.
This for me was a gut pick. And even though I'm taking Kansas City to win, I'm going Josh Allen.
I'm going with Josh Allen as well. I think it's weird to say like it's his time, but I feel like that's kind of where the Bills are right now. And I think that they've had their ups and downs this season and their downs have been like way, way down. But I think it's finally time for him to, you know, that team's done dicking around. You know, they had last week to prove it. And now they're going to come out for the rest of the, and to me, I know I picked them before the season to win the Super Bowl. I'm still, I know we've got picks to come for that, but I'm pretty confident, with moving forward there. So I'm going to go with Josh Allen on this one as well.
All right.
The running back with the most rushing yards will be.
Listen, I don't really like the running game for either of these teams. No. So expect really high passing yards from both Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. But I am going to give it to, funny enough that I took Kansas City because I'm going another Buffalo player. I'm going with Devin Singletary.
I'm going with Devin Singletary too, just because of his consistency throughout the season in the run game. You're right. It's interesting because Kansas City is so dominant, but their run game is very.
Obviously, the question mark.
Right. So I'm going to go with Singletary as well on that one. Okay. The wide receiver with the most receiving yards will be.
I went with him last week. I am going Kansas City on this pick, and I am going with a tight end, not a wide receiver. Another big, big game from Travis Kelce.
He needs to have a big game. So this number, he needs to be the biggest receiver here for sure. I'm going with Stephon Diggs.
All right.
The MVP of the game will be.
Now, although he is not going to be my top passer, don't get it twisted. He's going to have a huge game. I'm going Patrick Mahomes.
Yep. And I'm going to go with Josh Allen on this one. So, Katie, your final score for the final game of the divisional round matchups.
A great defense from Buffalo, but this is my highest scoring game of the weekend. I'm going 34-31 Kansas City.
This is my closest game of the week.
A one-pointer?
It is a one-pointer. And that's what I'm talking about. A defensive, I don't know how at the end, but then there could be a field goal. I don't know. I'm going with 31-30 Buffalo Bills on this one.
Right. Oh, my God.
It's making me sweat just thinking about it right now. I'm ready. Woo.
All right. Well, I mean, it's going to be an amazing weekend. At least we hope so, because I'm fired up for these matchups. I think they're really good. But let's get it off our chest. That point in the night where we talk about positive, negative, housewives, football, life, why, whatever we are feeling, excitement over this weekend's playoff games. Kate, what do you got?
Well, it's a shame that we're just talking about the excitement of this weekend's playoff games, because I got to say, my get it off my chest is how upset I am with last weekend's games. And I know we spoke about it throughout the show, but I don't know if it's the addition of another team and things like that. And we had that last year, these games were just so bad. It was, I know we do Thursday, Sunday, Monday during the regular season, but
it's different though.
It's different. It's
because you know what? It's like playoff football. You're kind of like dedicating yourself to the fact of like, oh, what are you doing this weekend? I'm staying in.
I'm staying home.
And then when you get disappointing games like that, it's like, I stayed home. Like, I stayed home to watch these
literally
games.
Literally from Saturday to Monday, and I had off on Monday.
Right.
And literally spent my entire day knowing that I had to be back by a certain time to do things like that, waiting around for the game. And I gotta say, I blatantly fell asleep Saturday night during that game, and I fell asleep during the Monday night game.
Yeah.
Not worth it. Not fun. Dallas Niners game was the best game out of the weekend. Yeah. It was the only game that kept me fully entertained. I mean, props to the Bengals and the Raiders for putting on a good game, but there was still definitely some about it. But I got to tell you, if it's an entire weekend, if you got me locked in Saturday to Monday, I need to be locked in. Because you're right, Katie, because I was talking today about something that's going to happen in 2 weeks. And my comment was literally, you have to take the playoffs into consideration, because we're doing stuff. We're busy.
It's the month of January. What am I doing on my weekends? I'm locked in for football.
It's playoff football. But I need good games. I need you guys to bring me in. Like, I don't have a horse in the race. So for now, for me, it's fun. I'm not.
Games. Not only do we not have a horse in the race, but we have rival horses out of the race.
I know.
Really, we don't have Dallas.
Even better. We're
rooting for good games here.
Just good games. So give me good games. I swear if this weekend sucks, I don't even know what I'm going to do, people. I don't know what I'm going to do. But you could just expect my get it off my chest next week to be 10 times worse. But let's have good games. I'm excited for them. They should be good. So. Yeah.
Mine is like, it's so many little side stories that happened
this
weekend. But real quick, love the story about Travis Kelce's mother. The Kelce brothers' mother, who started her day catching her son's game in Tampa Bay and then going midway, getting on a plane and then catching Travis's game in Kansas City. And making it to both games and just being like a boss of a mother, like
the best mom,
number one mom award right there. Like, that is dedication to your children.
I hate that one son had to lose. Like, that's probably awkward. Like,
But honestly, like, I love that. You know what? There's a lot of brothers that were,
so many,
but like hearing that story is like, that's one of those lighthearted ones that you love. Another one that like just completely cracked me up and put a smile on my face, Ryan Fitzpatrick showing up to the Buffalo playoff game, no shirt on, Bills Mafia, let's go. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a video of him like jumping onto a folding table in the parking lot, but I love it. I mean, this is a guy who plays for the Washington football team. He's like, screw that. Like, I love Buffalo. I'm about it.
Right.
And there's just something about Ryan Fitzmagic that you just gotta love. He puts a smile on my face.
With not being a shirt on and negative, what's he drinking? Like, send it our way.
I love it. That's like when you saw Eli Manning and Daniel Jones playing flip cup at a bar in Hoboken. It's like, It's like when you read one of those cheap celebrity magazines and it's like stars. They're just like us.
They're just like us. It's beautiful. It's like, it's beautiful, but it's also like, wow. It's like a dog like walking on its back legs. You're like, yeah. I've never seen that before.
I love it.
I love it too.
And then on the negative, we talked about a little bit early in the show, just Dak Prescott and his reaction after that Dallas-San Fran game. Obviously, we told you how that ended and how that went down. And then you had Dallas fans throwing trash at the referees as they were running out of the stadium. And Dak Prescott basically said in his press conference that, like, he supported that. And he was like, yeah, like almost like good for them. Yeah, no. They should have. And that was just really out of character. Didn't really expect that from Dak Prescott. I like him as a person, as a player. And Kate, we gave him a lot of respect this year. And it was just seemed really uncharacteristic of him. And then he finally came out with his apology today about it, saying that it was wrong of him. That took him 48 hours to do. He should have known the second it came out of his mouth in that press conference. And again, he's coming off that loss. It's very emotional. But the second it came out of his mouth, he should have known that it was wrong. And we didn't have to wait 48 hours for your half-ass apology. So that was very disappointing. And again, like, as a Giants fan, like, I have respect for Dak Prescott, but that went out the window a little bit. That was a bullshit comment to make, and that pissed me off.
Yeah, I think mine's gone for him. I think I'm done. I'm also done in the fact that I had mentioned it earlier in the kind of the play sequence. So we can't put him on this pedestal of being an elite quarterback around this elite offensive line. You make decisions like that, and then you come and then you say you want to blame the refs along with the fans. When in reality,
I immediately walked into that press conference and sat there and said everything that I did wrong in the game to lose that game for my team.
Yeah. So to me,
I should have done this better. I could have done that. I should have freaking ran the ball down the middle of the field on that last play. Like, come on, dude. Like, you have nobody to blame but yourself.
Yeah. So I think where I'm done from him from like a character perspective, from like how he responded, but I'm also done with, you know, trying to prop him up and giving him, you know, respect as an NFL quarterback. I think I'm taking a break and I'm pretty much done there. Yeah.
So that's my get off my chest.
I liked the three little ones. That was good. There's a lot.
Quick hot topics for getting off my chest.
It's always good. We got a lot on our minds, people. So we're always willing to complain about things, be happy about things. We're always ready to talk about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So as we move into tonight, into the weekend, things you don't want to miss. Real Housewives of Orange County is on tonight. This is Wednesday. If you are watching live at 9 p.m. people, it is so good. I'm loving Orange County. Yeah, I got to tell you, they might, I don't want it to screw over for me, but it's going, I'm on cloud nine. Salt Lake City is on Sunday at 9 p.m. still. Divisional round weekend, Saturday, your games are Tennessee versus Cincinnati at 4:30 p.m., Green Bay versus San Francisco at 8:15 p.m. And then Sunday, your games are Tampa Bay versus the Rams at 3 p.m. and Kansas City versus Buffalo at 6:30. Can I get a hallelujah for the 6:30 start for that game? Woo! That means this girl's going to bed at like 8:30 on Sunday. God. I love it. I love it. But thank you guys, as always, for joining us week after week. We love conversing with you. We love talking football. We love talking housewives, wine, life, everything. As always, you can always go to our podcast. We are on all your favorite outlets. Listen and subscribe for all our weekly episodes. We're live every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. We're also on the Instagram if you want to follow us. But we appreciate you guys as always, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye.